All right, so the recorder has started.
Was Sherry from Austria? You know Sherry that came before?
Sherry. No, she's from Arkansas.
Okay.
Sherry was from Arkansas. Okay. The lady that came from Austria was...
I can't think of her name. I can see
you
her
remember,
face.
I can see her face, too. Rosemary.
Oh, okay.
Right? Rosemary. Yeah, Rosemary. She came from Austria. So, all right, so we're on 2 Peter chapter 1 tonight. Page 437 in the Kindle. Is it the same for the paperback? Okay, good. All right, so we'll start with verses 1 and 2. It is time that we speak of abundance, for you do not know what abundance is. As you reach for true abundance, you accept everything as you. In this, there can be nothing that is missing. Of course, you know, when most people nowadays think of abundance, they think of what? Money? Stuff. this is not what it's talking about. This is why it says that we have to learn what abundance is. So verse 3-4. Abundance is full awareness of your divine nature. You like that? Abundance cannot be defined in any other way. Abundance cannot be defined within the limits of the world, because abundance is unlimited and beyond all definitions. So, again, when most people think of abundance, they think of money, they think of stuff. Some might think of power. Some might think of lots of people liking them, admiring them, you know, those types of things. But what NTI 2 Peter is going to teach us is that when we think those things are abundance, we don't know what abundance is. If we knew what abundance was, we wouldn't think those things are abundance. So those things are actually distractions away from abundance rather than abundance. In fact, if you look at sentence 4, it says, "Do not look to the world in your imagination as you attempt to grasp the thought of abundance. Look away from the world and the thoughts of the world, for it is only by reaching beyond limits that the limitless can begin to be known." So again, it's defining abundance as our divine nature. And, you know, if you think of anything in the world that you might call abundance, if you think of money, you think of clothing, you think of romance, you think of cars, you think of anything at all, even if you had all of those things, it's absolutely probable that you would not be happy. You guys agree with that thought?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you're not happy, can those things really be abundance? Wouldn't true abundance just fill you with joy, right? And satisfaction and not needing anything else? Something truly abundant would have to leave you not needing anything else, right? So we know those things aren't abundance because we can kind of test ourselves. We can say, boy, first we can sit down and we can imagine, oh, what are all the things I really want? And we can even make a list. And then we can open our eyes and look at it and say, now if I had all of that, would I be perfectly happy? And immediately something in us says, no. You know, we know that. Like, I might like those things, but something in me knows that's not going to make me happy. Not perfectly happy, even though I like those things. So that's not abundance. The only thing that can make us perfectly happy is knowing our divine nature, knowing who we are. So the only thing that is true abundance is what we are, our truth. Right? That's the only true abundance. And then it doesn't matter whether you have stuff or not. Right?
is it better to be rich or poor?
I don't know the answer to that.
In the Zen tradition, they say it's better to be rich.
They would.
Because it can truly embody the Italian sports car.
I don't get that. It's funny though.
if I know where my abundance comes from, that I can embody the Armani suit or the whatever.
What's that mean, embody the Armani suit or embody?
That means I can fully, knowing that my abundance, where my abundance, the source of my abundance comes from.
Yes.
It's better to be rich because you can, you're not attached to it. You can fully express that which, if that is, it, the argument is like, can you be enlightened and wear an Italian or a...
Well, I think that that's possible. I mean, I think that's possible because I think, I don't think enlightenment has anything to do with the world.
Right.
So I think that you can be enlightened and for some reason your destiny is to be very rich. And I think you can be enlightened and your destiny can be to be homeless. But to me, it's equal. I would not say rich is better than poor or poor is better than rich. I would say knowing yourself is better than not knowing yourself. And once you know yourself, whatever your destiny is, I think you would embrace it.
Yeah.
Right? That's whether it's a destiny of wealth or a destiny of poverty, you'd be...
That's what they're saying.
Yeah. 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 You'd embrace it. You know, one of my spiritual heroes is Peace Pilgrim. Do you know Peace Pilgrim? No.
I've read a book about
her. Okay. She was homeless. You know, she was completely homeless. You remember her? And she used to walk. Yeah, and you know, I think she was perfectly happy. She, you know, that was her destiny, and that was her joy, and that made her happy. So,
if you're beyond the survival, if you work through like your survival issues, then and you find your abundance, anything and whatever you know comes up because you're not that concerned for survival.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I've always been at a level state of, I don't know what you would call it. I'm going to call it financial experience because it's not actually finances because I've had, you know, sometimes almost no money and I've had sometimes money. But my financial experience has always been the same. And by that, I mean, I've always had a home. I've always had clothes. I've always been able to travel. You know, and so I've always felt about the same financially. Does that make sense? You know, and so I assume that financial experience is my destiny. I probably will not ever go up from this financial experience, and I will probably never go down from this financial experience of being able to live the way I've lived, because it's always been that way. It's been highly, highly consistent. But I haven't always been the same, consistently happy, even though my financial experience has always been the same. You know, before I started this spiritual path and started realizing my destiny, right, I didn't have the same level of happiness that I have now. So I don't think it has anything to do with the financial experience. It has everything to do with whether we know ourselves or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this sentence, abundance is full awareness of your divine nature. That type that and put it in your pocket. That's one to carry around for a week, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's start with verses 5 to 9. For this reason, quiet the mind whenever it seems to stretch to imagine abundance within the world. When the mind is stretching in this way, it is stretching to limit itself. Excuse me, it's stretching to limit itself even more. So like if we happen to be listening to a teacher, because they are definitely out there, who starts talking about, oh, you want the red Ferrari or you want the whatever, and, you know, well, here's what you need to do. You need to envision and blah, blah, blah. But this is saying, when our mind starts saying, oh, you mean I could have the red Ferrari? You mean I could? What this is saying is at that point, quiet your mind. Just quiet your mind and be still. Because what's actually happening is your mind is leaving yourself. It's going out into the world, and it's saying, my happiness is going to be out there, and that in one way or another is actually going to lead to unhappiness. Even if you get the red Ferrari, right? You may get the red Ferrari and then find out that you didn't get the girl or the guy that you kind of had assumed behind that once you got the red Ferrari, they'd love you. Or something else somewhere. And so it says, as soon as your mind starts stretching to imagine abundance in the world, Go, be still. Go be still somewhere. You know, don't let your mind do that because that's distraction from abundance, right? The abundance is right here, right now. and you want to just discover it. You don't want to be focused out there. And if you're destined to have the red Ferrari, you're going to get it anyway, right? So, what do you think, Dan? you look like you're thinking something.
Keep teaching.
Okay. So, starting with sentence 3 under verses 5-9. Rest the mind when it thinks of the world, and return the mind to the heart. For the heart knows not of the world or the limits of the world. The heart knows only the song that it sings, and that this is the song that whispers echoes of the thoughts of abundance. It is the heart that knows abundance, for abundance is not of the thinking mind. Whenever the thinking mind thinks it has understood and defined abundance, know that the thought of abundance has been lost. In that moment, return the mind to the heart, which does not define, and so it does know abundance. Pretty much the same thing that we've already been saying, except for this one little phrase here where it says, return the mind to the heart, which does not define. What this is really telling us is if we can define it, it's not abundance. Because you can't define your divine self. So if we can define it, it is not abundance. Pretty much knocks out just about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So verses 12 to 15. I am the memory of all that is true of you. And here I would be what we call the Holy Spirit. I am the memory of all that is true of you. This memory is kept within the heart. Do not grasp at my memory with the thinking mind, for it has never been the heart, and so it cannot know the heart as the heart does. Instead, let the mind rest, that the heart may rise into awareness. In this way, your memory is returned to you. In this way, you recall the meaning and flavor of abundance. This is a real skill that not everybody has mastered yet, but it's a skill worth mastering, definitely worth mastering. And it's the skill of being able to rest the mind, you know, so that the mind isn't all spinning, isn't all thinking, isn't all figuring out. Just learn to rest the mind and somehow shift into whether you call it the soul or whether you call it the heart, but shift into that and just be with that. And one thing that's really interesting about that is very quiet, but yet that is intelligence. And if you learn to shift away from the mind into the heart and just be in the heart or in the soul, although most of the time it's extremely quiet and not saying a thing, it can inform you of everything you need to know. The difference is, again, as we talked about last week, the mind is always making up stuff. So, I'll give you an example from my life. Last year, I started being paid as a minister for the first time, and they gave me a housing allowance. And I'd never received a housing allowance before, so I didn't know that I was supposed to be paying self-employment tax on it, which is 15.3%. I found that out towards the end of the year. And so I looked at it, and I thought, that just means I'll probably have to pay, it was the $10,000 housing allowance, so $1,530 on that when I file my taxes this year. Well, just to let you guys know, I don't have $1,530. and so I didn't know how I was going to pay that, but I just didn't think about it. I mean, it wasn't here yet. It wasn't time yet, right? And so I just didn't think about it. That's resting the mind. I just didn't think about it. And when I sat down to do my taxes, I use H&R Block Online. And they're asking if there are any changes. And I'm like, yes, I'm a minister now. And they say, you can't use this year if you're a minister. Now you have to use one of our tax representatives. and here's how much it will cost, and here's a tax representative in your area and all that. And so I got the tax representative, I sent all my stuff to her, and of course she's much better at doing taxes than I am. Guess what? I'm getting a $64 refund. You know, so see, if I had been worried about it for 5 months, that would have just been wasted mental energy, right? Because guess what? The whole thing worked itself out anyway. And that's why the heart is quiet. The mind's the one making up all the stories about what's going to happen and, you know, how am I going to do this and blah, 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 and maybe I can do this and blah, 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 and, you know, just all the stories. The heart's quiet because the heart knows it doesn't need to worry about it. And if there is something you need to know, it will tell you. But in this case, I didn't even have to be told anything because everything unfolded in front of my face. I sat down to do my taxes the way I always do. I clicked, yes, something's changed. I'm a minister. They say, you got to send your taxes to a person. I send my taxes to a person. She does my taxes. I'm getting a $64 refund. You know, the heart didn't have to prompt me at all in that case, right? If the heart did have to prompt me to do something different, it would have. But in this case, absolute silence was perfectly fine. And we get all scared when we're trusting the heart because we think that in absolute silence, we think we're not getting what we need. And so we return to the head with all of its, you know, blah, 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 blah. And that's where we're in trouble. That's where we're in trouble. We're actually very safe in the heart. And if the heart has something to tell us, it will. And if it's not telling us anything, that's because we don't need to know anything. Everything's fine. So this skill of learning to let the mind rest and learning to just stay in the heart, that's a very, very important skill and well worth practicing over and over and over again every day until it becomes natural, until something comes up and you go, oh, interesting, I don't know how I'm going to pay that $1,500, and then you forget about it. That will happen. That will come natural. But you have to practice learning to rest the mind. Right? You have to actively learn not to listen to it. It's a real, in fact, what it reminds me of, if we had a pendulum and the pendulum was swinging left to right and had been swinging left to right for 13,000 years or 13 million years or anything like that, and then somebody came along and said, hey, we need you to change that pendulum to swing front to back. It actually takes a little bit of time to get that pendulum to slow down, you know, get it to finally stop, and then a little bit of effort to get it. But then once it's swinging front to back, guess what? That's easy. And that's kind of what we're doing here. The mind is like the pendulum swinging left to right, and the heart is like the pendulum swinging front to back. And so it's going to take some effort to switch from the mind to the heart. But once you switch to the heart, that becomes just as natural. It becomes just as natural not to be worried even though you don't have an answer. It becomes just as natural to be okay with silence, you know. And again, when the mind's telling you all its stuff, if I had been afraid and if I had listened to the mind, I am certain the mind would not have made up the way it actually worked out, right? All of the mind stories would have been other stuff. The mind would not have said, oh, maybe you can, you know, get a tax lady and maybe she'll do your taxes and you'll get a refund. I wouldn't have thought of that one, you know? So. All right, so again, we're at verses 12 to 15. I'm going to start over there. I am the memory of all that is true of you. This memory is kept within the heart. Do not grasp at my memory with the thinking mind, for it has never been the heart, and so it cannot know the heart as the heart does. Instead, let the mind rest, that the heart may rise into awareness. In this way, your memory is returned to you. In this way, you recall the meaning and the flavor of abundance. And then verses 16 to 18. It is through witness that you know. That which you taste as witness cannot be forgotten, for that which you witness is a part of you. Therefore, do not try to understand or comprehend or imagine without witnessing. Let go of trying and relax into allowing. Through allowing, you shall witness. Through witnessing, you shall know. So like the story that I just told you of what happened with me and the $1,500, that's a witnessing. You know, I noticed I did not need to be concerned. I noticed it worked itself all out, you know. Another type of witnessing is the type of witnessing that people may do in meditation, which is the type of witnessing where you learn to shift into your awareness and sit with your awareness and be your awareness. That's another type of witnessing. So you can witness the miracles that happen in the day-to-day life as you shift into trusting and allowing instead of trying to control all the time. And you can just notice who you really are by setting in some type of meditation and practicing shifting into awareness and being aware of yourself as awareness. All of these things are witnessing. But what this is really saying is we need to put some attention into our spiritual practice. Whether it's the spiritual practice of letting go of control, the spiritual practice of learning to shift from the thinking mind to the heart, the spiritual practice of awareness, watching awareness, the spiritual practice of accepting everything as it is, all of these things are different than the ego, right? They're all different from the ego. And if we choose whichever spiritual practices really resonate for us and which, you know, we really, really want to do, then do them and witness the results. Because we're never going to get anywhere, and you all know this, but we're never going to get anywhere just sitting around talking spirituality all the time. Right? We can all be experts on the talk, but if we aren't living it, it's really worthless. We need to live it and witness it in our own lives. I sound like a preacher when I say that, don't I? Got to live it and witness it in your own life. Don't preachers say stuff like that?
Sarah probably knows you got to. You got to walk the talk.
I wanted to ask you on the control. Because
yes.
I'm always, my children always say that I'm very controlled.
Okay.
So now, what was that one?
Basically, whenever we're trying to control things to get a specific outcome, whether it's in our life or whether it's in our children's life, it's because there's a belief in the mind that I need things to be a certain way in order to be happy. Or safe, which really is the same thing, because I want to be safe so that I can be happy, right?
So how do you get rid of that?
You have to have the wisdom to know that you will never be happy trying to control. So maybe you start by noticing the stress you cause yourself by trying to control, the stress you cause others by trying to control, and ask yourself, do I want to continue to create this stress, or am I ready to let it go now? And you just ask that every time. Just keep asking yourself, because you have a natural born wisdom in you. We all do. You have a natural born wisdom. The way that it would live, controlling would continue to live, is by not noticing and not asking. But if every time I control, even while I'm still doing it, maybe I'm still controlling. You know, I haven't been able to let go yet, but while I'm doing it, I say, is this making me happy? You know, just notice. Do I like this? You know, is this the way I want to continue to be? And you just start noticing. And if you just start noticing, then, you know, sooner or later, you'll start noticing that there comes a time when you're like, I'm not willing to pick that up. I'm not willing to go there anymore. And you will naturally shift. So the key is to be honest about how you feel, because your mind is lying to you. Your mind is telling you, and the reason I know what your mind is telling you is because all of our minds are exactly alike. All right? Your mind is telling you that if you can finally get everything in just the right way, then you can be happy. So your mind is telling you that control is the means to happiness, and that's a lie. So you have to notice that lie by noticing how control does not make you happy, nor is it making your children happy. Right? And you have to realize that what you really want is happiness. And the control thing isn't working.
For them to be happy too.
Yeah, for everybody. Yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah, nobody can be happy with control. Nobody. Nobody. I mean, because we're all made the same. So we all believe the same lies. And when we discover them and we shift into the answers, it's the same answers that make us happy. There's nobody on earth that's different than anybody else, no matter how it appears. We're all exactly the same. So... all right, so starting with verses 19 to 21. Within you there is a star. This star is a very bright light. It was not made by you, but it was given to you so that it was given to you as that which you could not lose. This is the key to your abundance. This is the prophecy that must be fulfilled. For this star is you, and it is all that is true about you. Everything else emanates from the star, be it seen or unseen, perceived in truth or misperceived. But the star is your truth, and that is abundance. Now, most of us, at least if we're studying NTI, we don't really know our, well, we don't have, let's see, what's the words, full awareness of our divine nature. We don't have full awareness of our divine nature all of the time. If we did, we probably wouldn't be reading NTI. NTI is for somebody who's on the bridge, right? You agree with that?
Yeah.
So this is helping us find that abundance. And it's saying within you there's a star. That star is your willingness or your desire or your calling to know your true abundance. And it's saying you want to find this star and you want to follow this star, because you know what that star is? That star isn't just willingness or just desire or just a calling. That star is actually you. If you imagine like a light you, a light body of a you, and imagine that light body is reaching into the false self to say, hey, I'm right here. The tip of that fingertip that's reaching in, that might be the star. So if you turn your attention towards the star and then follow it, you find your real self, right? And again, that star, the way you experience the star is willingness, true desire, a calling, something like that. So you really want to give that attention to that calling, because that calling is the tip of your own real finger, you know, in that example. I mean, that is you. That's you that's calling you, right? That's you that's causing you to desire truth. It's you that's causing you to be willing. So really pay attention to that, because that's the edge of who you are. That's the edge of your divine abundance, right? Your divine nature. So starting with sentence 8, through knowing the star, you remember truth. Through truth, the meaning and understanding of abundance is known as a point of knowing that is beyond all possible definition. So that's 2 Peter chapter 1. And again, I don't really feel like squeezing in 2 Peter chapter 2. It just feels like we shouldn't do that. So we'll trust that. Usually what we do each week, even though we often all forget, we usually give ourselves an assignment, something just to kind of focus on. Something to kind of focus on during the week, just to help make the assignment, just to help make what we read be alive. So I would say we have two choices. Let's see if you guys want the same one. If so, we'll take it. One choice I think is really good is practicing resting the mind this week. Whenever we notice that the mind is, that we're getting caught up in the mind and it's worrying about something or judging something or whatever, just practice shifting into the quiet heart and just being quiet, you know, even if it's only a few seconds. If you're quiet for only a few seconds multiple times a day, that's helpful, right? You may feel like you're not doing anything, but actually it's extremely helpful. The other would be finding the star, finding our true desire, our willingness, our calling, and just learning to focus on it, maybe with gratitude, with attention, with devotion, and just kind of pulling that forward a little more so that we become more and more aware of our willingness, true desire, or calling. So which assignment do you guys like?
I like the willingness.
You like the willingness one? How about you guys?
Like the star.
That's the willingness one as well. How about you, Dan?
Yeah, find the star.
Okay, well then, I guess we'll do it that. Is it okay with you also, Sarah? Okay, so this week what we'll do then is we're going to focus on finding our inner star and just giving attention to it, gratitude, devotion, you know, anything we can to try and make that star brighter. Yeah, so it's just something that we're much more aware of more of the time. And I'm going to stop the recorder.